It is February 23rd, and we are in Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Gimel, Chapter 33. Vayhi divar Hashem el Yirmiyahu shenis, and the word of Hashem came to Yirmiyahu a second time, v'hu odeno atzur b'chatzar ha-matarot lemor. And he was still confined to the chatzar ha-matarot, which was the place in the courtyard of the king where he was confined, as we've mentioned before. This was more to protect him than anything else, but that's where he was, and now he gets a second nevuah from Hashem when he is there. Komar Hashem osa, so says Hashem, the one who does, meaning he does the things that are happening. Hashem yotzer osa, Hashem, the one who creates it, meaning everything that's going on. Lahachina, that to prepare it, meaning that he does things and prepares things in advance, as we'll see in a moment. Hashem Shemo, Hashem is his name. Cry live Neka, call out to me and I will answer you. Ve'agida lecha gedolos uvitzuros lo yedatam. And I will tell you big things and things that are, it's really another word for
great
and mighty things, like strong things that you do not know about. The Medrash says here that Hashem is not like a person. When you have a friend and you need a favor from that friend, and you ask the friend for a favor, the friend is happy to do it. And you ask again, and the friend is happy to do it. You ask again, the friend is a little less happy to do it, and then a little less happy, a little less happy, a little less happy. The more and more you ask, the more of a nudge you become, the less the person wants to have to do with you. And especially if the person says, I'm sorry, I can't help you right now, and then you keep nudging, So the person becomes less and less of a friend. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to call out to him. And Hashem never tires of us, so to speak, nudging him. In fact, he wants us to nudge him. Because if we are nudging him, it means we are acknowledging, A, he exists, B, he's in control. And it is exactly what he wants us to do. Hashem doesn't want us to stop nudging him, so to speak. So here the Medrash says it on this pasuk: "Cry, live Enecha, call out to me, and I'll answer you. Keep calling out. Don't stop. Do it over and over and over and over and over again." Says Hashem, "That is good. That's a good thing. I am not like a human being that doesn't like to be nudged. I like it when you are constantly calling out to me. Then we have a relationship." Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Kicho amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Kosos es Hashem, the God of Yisrael. Al batei ho'ir hazos, about the houses of this city, v'al batei malchei Yehuda, and the houses of the kings of Yehuda, hanisutzim, that are broken down, they were falling apart, el hasololos, vel hecharef, because of the sololos and the sword. The sololos, we mentioned last week, are the mounds of dirt that are built up whenever there's a siege around the city. So in order to get up to the level of the wall, so they build mounds of dirt to get up and be able to be level with the wall, with the top of the wall. It often is used in the context of the enemy that is surrounding the city, that they build sololos in order to be able to scale that wall, or at least to shoot projectiles over the wall. In this context, it actually is referring to the opposite, where those inside the city are looking for a vantage point from which they can shoot down on the enemy. And therefore, they built themselves sololos. They built mounds of whatever they can get their hands on, dirt, debris, whatever it is, in order to get up high and be able to fire objects from the top of the wall. So in this case, in so doing, it broke a lot of the houses, meaning the houses that were close to the perimeter of the city ended up becoming part of these mounds. They just piled things on top of those houses in order to get to the top of the wall. So it was just another method that the city was breaking down. Pasuk Hey, Boyim lihilachem es hakastim, coming to make war with the Babylonians, ulamalam es pigrei ha'adam, and to fill these houses with the corpses of man, asher hikesi v'apiu v'chamasi, that I have struck down with with my anger. Va'asher histarti fanai me'ha'ir hazos, and that I remove my face from this city, al kol ra'asam, because of all of their evil. So that is restating what we already know, which is that things are in a very, very bad place. This is the 10th year of the reign of Tzidkiyahu. It's within a year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. However, this nevuah, this prophecy, is about to take a different tone. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Hinani ma'ala la arucha, behold, I will heal it. Ma'ala la arucha means I will make it get better. Umarpe, and healed, urefasim, and again another word for healed. Three different ways of saying I will heal the city. Vigilesi lahem aseres shalom ve'emes, and I will reveal for them a crown of shalom and truth. Vashivosi es shavus Yehuda, I will return the captives of Yehuda, ve'es shavus Yisrael, the captives of Yisrael, uvinisim kevarishonah, and I will build them as they were before. I will rebuild Yehuda and Yisrael. V'tihartim mikol avonam asher chatu li, and I will purify them from all of their sins that they sinned to me. V'salachti lechol avonoseichem asher chatu li, and I will forgive all of their sins that they sinned to me. V'asher pashu li, and that they were negligent against me. V'hayisa li l'shem sason l'silo l'siferes lechol goye ha'aretz, and it will be for me as a name of joy and glory for all the nations of the world, that everybody will praise the Jewish people and Hashem. Asher yishmu es kol hatova asher anochi oseh osam, that they will hear all the good that I am doing for them, for the Jews. Ufachadu veragzu, and they'll tremble, they'll be afraid of the Jewish people. Al kol hatova v'al kol hashalom asher anochi oseh lo, and all the goodness and all the shalom that I am doing for her, meaning for the Jewish people, and they will therefore be afraid because they'll realize that Hashem is now prepared to defend the Jews and to really avenge anything that's happened to them in the past. This is what is going to happen in the future. Even though you see this city coming down around you now, and things look very, very bad, and they are bad, but there will be a time when this will turn around. Komar Hashem, so says Hashem. Od yishama bamokom hazeh ashratem omrim charevhu me'ein adam u'me'ein behema. It will again be heard in this place that you are saying it is destroyed, that there's desolate of man, desolate of animals. Ba'are Yehuda v'chutzos Yerushalayim, in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Yerushalayim, hanishamos, that are now desolate, me'ein adam u'me'ein yoshev u'me'ein behema, without any people, without any dwellers, without any animals. It will be heard again. Here we have a paraphrasing of a famous pasuk. This pasuk appeared elsewhere in Yirmiyahu. Now here we have it again. Kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chasan v'kol kala, the sounds of joy, the sounds of chasan and kala, kol omrim, the sound of those who say, hodu es Hashem tzvakos, praise or give thanks to Hashem tzvakos, ki tov Hashem, Hashem is good, ki le'olam chasto, for His chesed is forever. Mevi'im toda beis Hashem, bringing a toda, thanksgiving offering to the house of Hashem. Ki ashives shvus haaretz kevarishona, because I will return the captives of the land as they were before. I'll bring them back. Amar Hashem, says Hashem. The Gemara tells us that a person who attends a chasana and does not give joy to the chasan and the kala, then they violate five kolos, the five sounds, kol sason, kol simcha, kol chasan, kol kala, kol omrim, hodu es Hashem tzvakos, ki tov Hashem, ki le'olam chasto. That a person who attends a wedding, that by bringing joy to the chasan and kala, then they establish these five kolos. Now, violating five kolos is a funny thing to say, because this is not a mitzvah or an avera. There's nothing here. There's no commandment here. There's no prohibition here. It just says, Hashem says, I'm going to return these things to the streets of Yerushalayim. These sounds, this wonderful, joyous occasions. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is that when a person attends a wedding, they are supposed to be contributing to these five kolos, to these five sounds, kol sason, kol simcha, kol chasan, kol kala, and kol omrim hodu es Hashem tzvakos. Now, the exactly what does that mean? I mean, kol sason, kol simcha, two types of joy. There is a Gemara Maseches Sukkah that discusses the difference between sason and simcha. I would share it with you, except that it is unclear. Meaning, what I mean to say, it's unclear. There are many ways of explaining the Gemara, what sason means, what simcha means. It's two types of joy, and it's hard to succinctly say exactly what one is and what the other is, although there are mafarshim to do it, that they'll pick it apart and say what sason means and what simcha means. But it's two types of joy. Kol chasan, kol kala, the sound of chasan, sound of kala. So without the Gemara, I would have just said that Hashem is going to bring back to Yerushalayim the sound of chasan, sound of kala. They're with the sounds that a chasan, a kala make when they're at their weddings, they're having they're so happy. But the Gemara refers to this as a separate kol, a separate sound that a person violates if they don't bring joy to the chasan and kala. So bringing joy to the chasan and kala creates the kol chasan, kol kala. It's not just the chasan celebrating on his own, it's the chasan celebrating with people. It's not the kala celebrating on her own, it's the kala celebrating with people. As we all know, a celebration is not really a celebration when one does so all by themselves. When they have others with them, celebrating with them, feeling their joy with them, then that is really what the simcha is all about. And all of this will be brought back, and when a person goes to a wedding, a person is supposed to bring these things out. And finally, kol omrim hodu es Hashem tzvakos ki tov Hashem ki le'olam chasto. Ultimately, the kol, the sound that should be brought out at a wedding is the thanksgiving to Hashem. It is acknowledging that it all comes from Hashem, the intense joy and simcha of recognizing that Hashem, His generosity and what He has done for us or is doing for us. And that is to be brought out. The Gemara says, and if a person is misameach the chasan and kala, then what do they merit? So the Gemara says, it is if they have brought a karban toda. It's like they've brought a karban. As the pasuk ends off, mevim toda beis Hashem, bringing a toda to the house of Hashem. So if a person wants to have the schar as if they have offered a karban toda to Hashem, which we say in Shachris Mizmar Lasoda, but to be as if one has brought a karban toda, if one goes to a wedding and is misameach the chasan and the kala, then one has established, has made it as if they have brought a karban toda. Moreover, the Gemara says, it is as if they have rebuilt one of the korbanos shel Yerushalayim, one of the destroyed either buildings or areas of Yerushalayim, as it says, ki ashiv es shvus haaretz kevarishona, I'll return the captives like they were before. So there is always that when one is misameach chasan v'kala. Just want to pause for a moment here and just point out that most of the time when we think of being misameach chasan and kala, people think about the dancing, that dancing in front of the chasan and the kala, that is a way of bringing joy to the chasan and kala, which it is, but it is not limited to that. That is one way that one can bring joy to a chasan and kala. One can also bring joy to a chasan and kala simply by being present at their wedding, and one can especially bring joy to a chasan and kala by saying things that will make them that will cause endearment between the two. And that also is part of being misameach chasan v'kala. When the Gemara discusses the halacha of sheva brachos, and we know that when one makes a sheva brachos during the week, in order to be able to recite the brachos after benching, you have to have panim chadashos. You have to have someone who was not at the wedding. There is a debate amongst the Rishonim, what does that mean, wasn't at the wedding? Does it mean that they weren't at the chuppah? Or does it mean they weren't at the meal? Which one? When we say there's panim chadashos, there's a new person here, Wow, that's going to bring joy to the chasan and kala, a new person, because they're new. Why? What did they not attend before that they're attending now? And it is a debate whether it means they weren't at the chuppah, which means they've never participated in the Shava Brachos, because the Chuppah, the Shava Brachos were recited, and they weren't there, so they were never participated in those Shava Brachos before? Or does it mean that they weren't at the meal? And the meal is the main time of giving Simcha to the Chasan and the Kala, and therefore if they weren't there, they haven't yet given Simcha, so when they come to the Shava Brachos, they're now giving Simcha to the Chasan and Kala by being at the Shava Brachos, being present at the Shava Brachos. So the when it says to give joy to a chasan and kala, there are various ways of accomplishing that. But the main thing is to celebrate with them. Whatever that means in each case, it's different. It's probably different for each chasan and each kala. Exactly what to them is would be considered celebrating with them. But either way, that is establishing the five kolos, these five sounds of joy. Now, the Gemara says over here that in the future, all karbonos will be batal, will be null and void. And the Gemara says all tfilos, all davenings will be null and void, will be batal. With the exception of the karbon todah and the exception of Hodah of Modim Anachnu Lach, that the one karban that will endure is the karban todah, the Thanksgiving offering, and the one tefillah that will endure is the tefillah of Modim. Now, it's unlikely that the Medrash means, this Medrash appears over and over again, it appears many, many times. It's unlikely that it means there will not be karbanos at all. It's clear from the psukim that there are karbanos every day, every yomtif, every Shabbos. It doesn't seem to mean that there really will not be karbanos. It also does not seem to mean that there won't be davening. There's davening all the time. Davening is a good thing. However, the Gemara seems to be saying that the real need for karbanos and the real need for davening will focus almost exclusively on the need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas today, our davening, which reflects what would be our karbanos, really revolve around how many things we need to ask Hashem for, and also doing teshuva. Shmona Esrei is full of teshuva, not just in the brachos of Hashivenu Avinu and the bracha of Slach Lanu, not just that, but all the brachos that beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Geula, to bring Mashiach, are essentially brachos of Teshuva, because the reason why Mashiach is not here yet is because of our Averos, and we have to do Teshuva. So as we ask Hashem, Es Semach David Avdecha, and Veli Yushalayim, what we're asking is, bring us back, we want to do Teshuva, we want to be with you. All of that are really expressions of us wanting to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the future, once that happens, then the main tefillah will be one of todah, of hodah, of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything He has done for us. We will also see much more clearly in the future everything that has happened in the past and how everything was necessary to lead up to the eventual future that we are waiting for. Where today we can't see when something, a tragedy, chas v'shalom, happens, we can't see past it, and we are stuck with our very limited view that we have now, but we know intellectually that there is good in everything, we just don't understand it. In the future, we will have a much better grasp of what that goodness is, and therefore everything will become a thank you rather than an expression of pain or expression of sorrow or something of that nature. Similarly, that's true with the davening and true with the karbanos as well. A karban chatas, a karban asham, which are for doing averos, even a karban ola really has to do with averos. But because we will be so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Averos will be much fewer, And the real focus of Karbanos will be to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We will have this intense need to thank Hashem for everything He has done for us. And that will be the Karban Todah, and the Tefillah of Modim will become the main focus of both the Karbanos and the Davening.
What about things like water libations and things like that?
Yeah, what about, the question is, what about the Nisuch HaMayim, the water libations, the Nisuch HaYayin, the wine, the Ketores, right, the menorah? It seems like all of that is going to happen. It doesn't appear that it's not, the Rambam certainly understands everything is going to, the Beis HaMikdash, everything will be reinstated, but we're talking here about the focus of what the main thing will be.
And
it
no
will
be, more Korban Pesach?
No, I think there will be Korban Pesach. I mean, the Gemara seems to say that there will be, that Pesach is not going to be batal. There will still be Pesach. Purim is going to be the main Yontif, it seems. But apparently there's going to be Karbanos like before.
That's what it seems. Fast days will go away?
Well, the question is, will the fast days go away? That already the Pesach says, that when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, the fast days went away. There was no need to fast. They came back after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed.
I thought they still fasted on Yom Kippur.
Only on Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is not a fast day because of bad things that happened on the calendar.
We'll always have Yom Kippur.
It seems that we will always have Yom Kippur. That's what it seems. Yeah. Yeah. But Yom Kippur is a happy day, ultimately. So. Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakoso, says Hashem, Od Yia Bamakom Azeh, they will again be in this place. Hecharev Mein Adam Ve'ad Behema Uvechol Arav, that is destroyed, no man, no animal, and in all its cities. They will again be Nevei Roim. There will again be this dwelling of shepherds. Marbitzim Tzon, that are shepherding their flocks. This is going to happen again, that they'll be doing this. The Midrashim say over here that it's literal, but it's also a mashal, that we will have leadership kings that will shepherd their flock, which is us. Be'arei ha'har, be'arei ha'shefela, uva'arei ha'negev, in the cities of the mountain, the cities of the valleys, the cities of the south, Uve Eretz Binyamin, and in the land of Binyamin, Uve Sevive Yerushalayim, and all around Yerushalayim, Uve Ara Yehuda, the cities of Yehuda, Od Ta'avorna Hatzon Al Yidei Mone, Amar Hashem, again, the sheep will pass by through one who counts them, says Hashem. We know that in Tanakh we frequently have this imagery of a shepherd counting his flock. We have it with Rosh Hashanah, counting one by one. And what is meant to be brought out by this is that each and every sheep counts. Each and every one of us counts. And it is true today as well. Every single one of us matters. Every single one of us counts. Hashem cares about each and every one of us, but we don't always see it. It's hard to see it when we're in Gullus, when we are in exile. But in the future, we will all recognize that Hashem cares about each and every one of us. Each one of us will feel like we matter to Hashem. It will be obvious to each and every one of us that we matter, that we count, that Hashem cares. Pasuk Yudal, verse 14. Hine yamim boim nu Hashem. Behold, these are coming, says Hashem. Bakimosi es hadavar hatov. And I will establish the good thing. Asher dibarti al beis Yisrael v'al beis Yehuda. That I spoke about the house of Yisrael and the house of Yehuda. And bayayim ahim in those days, uvaisi at that time, atzmiach leDavid semach tzedaka. I will make sprout for David a sprouting of tzedaka, of righteousness. Ve'asa mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz, and he will do justice and righteousness in the land. And we've had the following pasuk once before. Bayamim ahim, in those days, tivasha Yehuda. Yehuda will be saved. V'Yerushalayim tishkon lavetach, and Yerushalayim will dwell securely. V'zeh asher yikra la Hashem tzidkenu. And this is what this is what he will call her, Hashem, our our righteous one, meaning that Yerushalayim will be a place where people will recognize Hashem, Hashem Tzidkenu. This phrase, Bayami Mahim Tivasha Yehuda Yerushalayim Tishkon Lavetach, is a phrase we've had, as I mentioned, we've had this before, and it is quoted in the Tefillah for Eretz Yisrael. When the Tefillah that is said in Shul on Shabbos for Eretz Yisrael, so, I'm sorry, this is said in the Tefillah, no, for the Tefillah for the government, for the local government, whatever government you're in the United States over here. So this pasuk is mentioned, that Yehuda will be saved and Yerushalayim will dwell securely. That is, it is mentioned there in that Tefillah. Pasuk Yud-Zayin, verse 17. Ki cho amar Hashem, for so says Hashem, lo yikareis leDavid ish yoshev al kisei veis Yisrael, it will not be cut off for David, a man sitting on the throne of Yisrael. Now this needs explanation. It will not be cut off from David, a man sitting on the throne of Yisrael. We don't have a man sitting on the throne of Yisrael now. So what does it mean it won't be cut off from David? There's no descendant of David sitting on the throne now. There hasn't been one in a couple thousand years. So what does this mean? So Rashi explains that it will not be a krisus forever. It will not be cut off forever. Meaning, there will always be someone that, there will eventually be someone on the throne. The throne is not good, even though right now there is a temporary time where there's nobody on the throne, but that is not a permanent thing. It will not be a permanent cutting off of a person sitting on the throne of David HaMelech. But furthermore, Yurches 18, V'la'kohanim ha-Leviim, and for the Kohanim, the Leviim, lo yikareis ish milafanai, it will not be cut off a man from before me, ma'le'ola, bringing an ola, the carbon ola, u'maktir mincha, and burning a carbon mincha, a meal offering, v'os ha-zebach, and making karbanos, kol hayamim, all the days. Now here, it sounds like there's going to be karbanos brought all the time. That's what it sounds like, but again, we haven't had karbanos brought in almost 2,000 years. So what does it mean that there'll be karbanos brought all the time? So here Rashi explains, there will always be kohanim who are fit to offer karbanos. In every generation, there are always going to be kohanim who, if the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt in that generation, those kohanim will be able to offer the karbanos all the time. That will always be that way. We are guaranteed that the line of kahuna will always be, not just that the line won't be cut off, but that the kohanim themselves will be viable. Because as we know, not every kohen can serve in the Beis HaMikdash. There are several things that make a kohen invalid to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. There will always be some kohanim in every generation who can, which seems to me to be, why does it have to be that way? Because Mashiach could come in any generation. Therefore, there has to always be Kohanim available, because if the Beis HaMikdash is built tomorrow, who's gonna run it? There's gotta be Kohanim who can run it. And that's true in every generation. Yes?
So we wouldn't need a Paraduma to purify them?
We would, yeah, the question is, what about a Paraduma? We will need a Paraduma, but the rule is that if most of the Tzibur is Tamei Meis, then we can serve in the Beis HaMikdash even though we're Tamei. So it would be a dispensation until the part. But yes, we definitely would need a Paraduma.
So then who has the ashes first of the Paraduma if we're all considered to need it?
Yeah, so the question is how do you don't need to be Tahar to bring a Paraduma is not a Karban. A Paraduma is...
I thought the person was pure, and then after they handed it all out, they became Tamei.
No, that's...
start out Tamei.
The way a Paraduma works is that the one who's involved with the Paraduma becomes Tamei, but not Tamei that they need the Paraduma. It's not a never-ending loop. That's a lot of people are mistaken that. It's not a thing that someone has to be Tamei and needs the Paraduma. It doesn't work that way. You could have the whole nation Tar. It's unlikely.
What kind of Tamei does that coincide?
It's just the Tamei. He has to go to the mikvah. That's all.
Okay.
It's a minor Tumah that he gets.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unlikely the whole nation is Tar only because there's always someone who dies, and someone has to take care of that person who dies, and that person becomes Tamei.
But I thought at the end of time there's going to be so many dead that it's going to take us months to bury them.
Yeah, right.
Which would mean to me that we're all going to be impure.
Yeah, so you're talking about Mechemes Gog u'Magog and having to bury the dead, right? They'll be, right, we'll see. I mean, who knows, you know, but, yeah, yeah. But that is a timely topic since we are approaching the Parshas Shkolim is this week, so we're going to get to Parshas Par pretty soon, so that's an important topic. Pasuk Yates, verse 19. Vahi Dvar Hashem El Yirmiyo Lemar, the word of Hashem came to Yirmiyo saying, Komar Hashem, so says Hashem, Im Taferu Es Brisi Hayom Ve Es Brisi Halayla, if you could nullify my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, ulevilti hayos yom v'alayla b'itam, and that there would not be day or night in its time, if that were possible, now it's impossible. That can't happen. There's always going to be day and night. So just as it is impossible to nullify the covenant I have with day and with night, ever since the Mabul, then after the Mabul, it says that Hashem made a covenant, yom v'alayla lo yishbosu, that day and night will never end. So too, gam brisi sufar es David avdi. So too could my covenant be nullified with David my servant. In other words, just as it is impossible to nullify my covenant with day and night, so too it is impossible to nullify my covenant with David my servant. Mios lo vein, molech al kiso. What covenant? That there will be for him a descendant who is ruling on his throne. And similarly, Ves Halavim, Hakonim, Mishar Sai, and the Levim and the Konim, those who serve me, there will always be a candidate for the throne. There will always be Levim and Konim who are candidates to serve Hashem. There's never a time when those things will not exist. We are guaranteed that there is a person today who could sit on the throne of David HaMelech. We don't necessarily know who it is, but there is a descendant, maybe several descendants of David HaMelech, who could be Mashiach. It is possible in every generation for Mashiach to come, which means there is a candidate, a viable candidate. Sometimes we feel, when we're trying to fill a position of leadership, we can't find anybody. Like, you know, we feel like frustrated. Like, there's nobody out there. There's somebody out there for the candidate of Mashiach, of the king. There is somebody. We don't necessarily know who it is, but in every generation, there's somebody. Yes?
So when Joshua or Eliyahu made the sun like halt in the sky, or later at the end of days when it says that the noontime will be like night, those are just temporary, just a temporary thing?
Yeah, good,
so
good.
Doesn't count?
Good, or? Right. So the question is, what about when the sun stopped, the moon stopped? The day is longer, the night is longer, right. So those are temporary. It's not a nullification of day and night. There is a day and night. It's just that sometimes it does get, there are miraculous things that happen.
So exceptions could happen.
Temporary exceptions could happen, right. It seems that way, yes, yes. Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. Asher lo yisofer tzva hashamayim. This is an unbelievable pasuk. Just as the hosts of the heavens cannot be counted. You can't count all the stars. We know this today more than they knew it in the past because of the ability to see further. We can see more stars and we see that it's uncountable. There's billions of stars out there. It's impossible to count them. V'lo yimar chol hayam, and you can't measure the sand of the sea. Okay, now we've had these analogies before referring to the Jewish people. But look at this. Kein arba es zera David avdi ves halavim mishar seosi. So I will increase the seed of David my servant and the levim, which means the Kohanim as well, who serve me. So not only is there a guarantee that we Jews will be as many as the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea, etc., but the seed of David and the Kohanim, the Levim, also will be as many. Now, I don't know what this is referring to. It sounds like it's referring to the future. But we're already guaranteed that there will never be a time that there's no viable candidate for being Mashiach and no viable candidate to work in the Beis HaMikdash. And now we're being told that also that there will be apparently many people of that descent. Again, I don't know whether it's now or whether it is in the future.
Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Finding actual people there, or just like the greatness of them.
The question is: is this literal, the amount of people, or is it their greatness? It sounds like it's literal. I mean, what can I tell you? It sounds that way. It sounds that way. The analogy, just as you can't count. I mean, it sounds pretty. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23. The word of Hashem came to Yirmiyahu saying, "Halona Isa ma ha'am hazeh dibru lemar." You see what this nation is saying. Shteya mishpachos asher bachar Hashem bohem vayima same. Two families that Hashem chose them, and now He has rejected them, referring to the house of David and the Kohanim, because with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the exile of the people, the royalty is cut off and the Kohanim are cut off. So look, Hashem has rejected these two special families. And the people who are saying this are making my nation as if they are themselves being rejected from being my nation anymore. That's what it sounds like they're trying to say, that the Jews are no longer the chosen people, no longer the ones that Hashem wants. So Hashem says it is not so. This is a very, very famous and oft quoted pasuk. It's quoted in Gemara many times over, and then after that, many more times. Ka'amar Hashem, so says Hashem, im lovrisi yomam v'layla, if not for my covenant day and night, chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti, the statutes of the heavens and the earth I have not given. Now, the simple reading of this pasuk is that just as the covenant I've made with day and night are permanent, because without them there wouldn't be heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are dependent on my covenant with day and night, and one doesn't exist without the other. Gam zera Yaakov and David avdi, also the seed of Yaakov and David my servant, MS, would I reject mikachas mizaro moshlim, to take from his seed rulers. Meaning, just as I don't reject the heavens and the earth, and I don't nullify my covenant with day and night, so too I don't reject David HaMelech, meaning I reject David HaMelech to the level that I would reject the entire universe, heaven and earth. El Zera Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, the seed of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Sometimes Yitzchak is spelled with a sin, Yitzchak, like over here. Ki Ashivas Shfusam v'Richamtim. I will return their exiles, and I will have mercy upon them. So so Hashem says that I will never reject the Jewish people. I will never reject David HaMelech. I will never reject the Kohanim. There will always be these people. There will always be my people. They'll always be connected to me. And if I reject them, I reject the entire universe. That's all. Now, we're going to talk about Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25 in a moment, but I want to point out to you that next week's Perek Lamed Daled, chapter 34, is the Haftorah for Parashas Mishpatim, which we'll talk about next week. The Haftorah for Parashas Mishpatim begins in Perek Lamed Daled. It actually does not begin with the first Pasuk. It begins later on. I'll point it out to you next week, Mirtz Hashem, when we get there, which part of Perek Lamed Daled of chapter 34 is the Haftorah for Parashas Mishpatim. The reason why I'm mentioning to you now is because the way it works is you do a certain part of Perek Lamed Daled, chapter 34, and when you get to the end of that, then the Haftorah scrolls backwards and does these last two Psukim. These last two that we just did, Pasuk Chaf Hei and Pasuk Chaf Vav, verses 25 and 26 of Perek Lamed Gimel of chapter 33, are the last two psukim of the Haftorah for Parashas Mishpatim, which is found in the next Perek. This is one of the very few places where we go backwards in a Haftorah. In fact, this past Parashas Mishpatim, when we read this, Parashas Mishpatim is often Parashas Shkolim. So you don't always read the Haftarah for Parshas Mishpatim. This year's a leap year, so therefore Parshas Mishpatim came earlier, and therefore we did read the Haftarah for Parshas Shkam, so we read this a few weeks ago. When we did it, the shir that I gave after davening, you know, I give a shir after davening on Shabbos morning, the shir I gave was this rule about when do we go backwards in a Haftarah. When is it okay to go backwards? When is it not okay to go backwards? So this is one of the few places where we actually go backwards, where we read first a section of Perek Lamed Aleph 34, then we go back to these two psukim. So that these two that we just read is the end of that Haftarah. But again, we'll focus on that Haftarah Mirz Hashem next week when we do the actual bulk of the Haftarah. Now, this pasuk, Chafei 25, says, if we take it out of context, it says, Komar Hashem says Hashem, Im lo vrisi yomam v'loyla, if not for my covenant day and night, Chuko shemayim v'aretz lo samti, then the statutes of heaven and earth, which means the entire universe, lo samti, I did not place. If you take it out of context, in context it means just as I have a covenant with day and night in the universe, so too I have a covenant with Yaakov. But if you just take it on its own, this pasuk, what it sounds like it's saying is that if it wasn't for my covenant of day and night, there wouldn't be a universe. There is a covenant that is so critical that if it didn't exist, there wouldn't be a universe. If it wasn't for Brisi Yomam V'Laila. The question is, what covenant? What? And with whom and what? Well, once we decide what, we'll also know with whom. But what is this covenant that we're talking about? So there are, we'll call them four. It's three and then one that really encompasses them all. But there's three main, they're not opinions, they're three main versions in the various Gemaras and Midrashim. This is all over the place. And there are three main approaches, and I don't think they're arguing with each other. I think they complement each other. So one is, and the most famous one is, Im lo vrisi yomam v'laila, my covenant day and night. What mitzvah needs to be done day and night? V'hagisa bo yomam v'laila, the study of Torah must be done day and night. And if not for my covenant day and night, if not for my covenant meaning the study of Torah day and night, the universe would cease to exist. So this is where you may have heard, and I think it's people well known, people say it, that you always have to have learning. There always has to be learning going on somewhere in the world. You can't have a moment without the study of Torah or else the universe would cease to exist. That comes from here. This is the source for that. Because it says, Im lo vrisi yomam v'laila, if not for my covenant day and night, meaning the constant study of Torah, then the universe would cease to exist. That's one approach.
Yeah. When did that covenant start? Because it had to start at the beginning, Adam didn't have Torah.
Question is, when did the covenant start? So the Gemara tells us that when it says in Parashas Bereishis, Vayhi erev vayivoker yom hashishi, that there's an extra hey. That for the sixth day, it was evening, it was morning, the sixth day, Hashishi, that what's that extra hey? That the world was talui va'omi, the world was in the balance until the sixth day of Sivan, when the Jews would either accept or, God forbid, reject the Torah. And that was, everything was hanging in the balance, waiting for then. Once we accepted the Torah, then everything got solidified. So that this, you're right, it was conditional on the Jews accepting the Torah. But once that happens, then there has to be study of the Torah all the time. That's one, version in Chazal. A second one is the Gemara says that what is the bris of day and night? This would be the covenant that exists all the time. And the Gemara says it is referring to bris milah. Not that the mitzvah of bris milah is done all the time, but once bris milah is performed, then it remains on a person their entire life, day and night. It never goes away. That is just there. So that covenant is always. And the Gemara uses this as a way of expressing how important the mitzvah of bris milah is. That the mitzvah of bris milah is so important that the heaven and earth, the universe, hinges on this mitzvah. That's a second version in Chazal. A third version in Chazal is the covenant, the original covenant. What's the first? It's I guess we'll call it the first covenant that is made with a Jew. You have an earlier one with Noach. But what's the first covenant made with a Jew? With Avram, right. The Bris Ben HaBisarim. Now there, in the Bris Ben HaBisarim with Avram Avinu, Avraham asks Hashem, "Bama idaki irashana, how will I know? How will the Jews be able, how will I know the Jews will get the land?" So one way of approaching that is that Avraham Avinu asked Hashem, "How do I know? Give me a sign that the Jews will get the land." That's one approach. But the other approach over there is Avraham wasn't asking for a sign. How does he know? He knew because Hashem said it and he trusted Hashem. But rather, Avraham was asking, what will the Jews do in order to merit the land? How will they be able to have the land? Because they're not perfect. They're not going to be perfect. People aren't perfect. People do have eros. How will they merit the land? Now Hashem answers, bring me these animals. The answer is karbonos. That with the karbonos, they will have the land. Imavrisi yomam v'alayla, left my covenant day and night, meaning the covenant of the karbonos, which are brought during the day, they burn all night, as the pasuk says in Parashas Vayikra, that they burn on the Mizbeach all night, and karbonos are brought all day. If not for that, then the universe ceases to exist. Now, it can't mean that there have to be karbonos all the time, because there are no karbonos now. But it means that that covenant that involves day and night, that's the covenant that will allow us, allow the Jews, to do teshuvah and be able to merit being this special bracha from Hashem. So it is three possibilities in Chazal. One is Torah study, one is Bris Milah, and one is the karbonos. Whenever you see a unit of three, then you always have to try to tie it back into the other paradigms of three that we have. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we have Torah, Avoda, Gemilus, Chasadim. We have the crown of Torah, the crown of Kahuna, the crown of Malchus. If we focus on the Torah, Avodah, Gemilus, Chasadim, or the three crowns, you have Torah, Avodah is service, and Gemilus, Chasadim really goes together, as we've mentioned before, with Malchus, with royalty, which has to do with the bounty of this world, with using this world in the proper way. That's why the Shulchan, the table in the Beis HaMikdash, with the Lechem HaPanim, with the showbread, that is a reference to Malchus, to royalty, because the royalty is the king is the one whose job it is to administer the brachos of this world. And therefore, these three covenants, Torah is obvious, Karbonos is Avoda, and then Bris Milah represents the things that go on in this world, the physicality of this world. All three things are, there is a covenant that Hashem has with all three aspects of serving Him. And Hashem says that they are all critical for Chukos Shamayim Va'aretz in order for there to be an entirety of the universe. The fourth one, which, as I said, is really involved in all of them, is Imovrisi Yomam Valaylaf, not my covenant with the Jewish people in general. If not for the giving of the Torah, which is the ultimate covenant with us, that Hashem gave us the Torah, and that's what we were talking about before, Yom HaShishi, if not for that, there's no heavens and earth. There's nothing. The whole universe ceases to exist. So that one is Ola al Kulam. That's above everything. That's the main one. That covenant has to be. So if not for my covenant with the Jewish people, that the Jews accepted the Torah, Nasa v'nishma, then the universe would have ceased to exist. There'd be no purpose in creation if not for the Jews accepting the Torah. Rashi points out that all of these explanations take this pasuk, take this verse out of context. In context, that's not what it means. But nevertheless, this is the way that Chazal used this pasuk over and over and over again. There must be several dozen references in Chazal to this pasuk, using it in one of the ways that I just mentioned. In various ways of saying the same thing, of the way I mentioned, with slight differences, of course, but they are there in Chazal. So, this perek then is Hashem's refuah kodem lamaka. This is the antidote before the maka, before the terrible patch that the Jews are about to get. The Beis Hamikdash is about to be destroyed, and Hashem is already telling Yirmiyahu there is going to be a salvation. It's going to come back. There will always be a candidate for Mashiach. There will always be a candidate to run the Beis Hamikdash in the Kohanim. There will always be. I'm not sending you away and forgetting about you. There's always going to be a connection. So even as things are going badly very quickly here, but this still stands as the refuah that Hashem says in three different words before, that there is a remedy that is already in place before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll continue next week, Mirtz Hashem.
So Yaakov couldn't get any nebuah or any feeling of Hashem because he was still mourning his son. But all these prophets are going through horrible things. They're being imprisoned. They're beaten.
Good question.
How do they still get nebuah?
Good question. The question is that we know that Yaakov Avinu lost his Ruach HaKodesh because he was sad because of Yosef. So, and we know that a Navi can't get nebuah unless he's besimcha. He's got to be happy. So how is it over here? Yirmiyahu, it's gotta be terrible. How does he have nebuah? Not just Yirmiyahu, as you're putting out other Nevi'im as well. It's a very good question. I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know if the answer is that they managed to get themselves to a proper frame of mind, which would be a superhuman thing to do, or if these sorts of prophecies didn't need that.
Because Yonah didn't want to, right.
Yeah.
Purposely not get himself happy then.
Yeah.
He still got it.
Right. It's a good point. I don't have a good answer. It's a good, strong question. I don't have a good answer for you. Let's see if we can look into that one.
Thank you.
Okay.
I was looking at the questions that you put on the email today.
Yeah.
I started looking the Karbanos.
Yeah.
And I got into this whole discussion about, well, are we going to sacrifice animals?
Yeah. So
you don't want the debate.
So there are those who want to suggest that there won't be Karbanos, but it's a very modern.
No
one had any doubt that it's going to be Karbanos until about 50 years ago. There's going to be Karbanos.
No, I'm not saying that it won't, but that turned into, are we going to really have animals? In the seventh millennium, we have animals, and maybe we won't.
Okay, well, that could be a little change at some point. But
I thought the animals wanted to be Karbanos.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you see from last week's Haftorah with Eliyahu HaNavi.
Right.
The cows that he took, one of them, the one that was going to be for Avodah Zarah, ran away.
Right, didn't want to do that.
Right,
he
but the other one was very happy to, right.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.